Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow, and they call me World for Past, Present, and Future Stars as we travel looking for the boxing news, the legend tales, boxing history, and coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado. Last week we went to 30-some countries, I believe it was. Welcome into the show, Bob.
Well, we got a lot of countries to go to this time, too, man. Definitely we got some action heating up here for the end of the year. Lots of fights throughout the world, and we'll be talking more about the lightweight fight tonight and some of the other championship things that are happening throughout the world, and some other news, too, happening with the heavyweight division as well, too. Some interesting news this week.
Yeah, well, we want to first wish Bob Arum a happy birthday. He's doing that big fight tonight. He's 90-some years old, I guess, man. So
yeah.
Don King turned 90 in August, and he's still biting at the bit. We're going to talk about his big announcement, what he's doing in boxing later on. So, Bob, man, there's a lot of action, baby. And let me tell you, to my understanding, you know, Canelo Alvarez, and he won Fighter of the Year from the Boxing Writers Association of America, and Floyd Mayweather got Boxer of the Decade in New York just a few days ago. So, you know, boxing's back on the move, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the move, Bob.
Yes,
and we're happy it's on the move, too.
Oh, yeah. So, also you're talking about Canelo Alvarez, and, you know, that's deservedly so. He fought four times, bringing us back out of the pandemic. You know, his face was out there, man, you know, and that's good for him.
Yes, it is good for him, Bob, and it's also good for boxing, man.
Yes,
As the big-name stars, as they fight, they keep on headline news interesting things with boxing, and it keeps us with something to do, Bob. We talk about them, you know. We analyze, we socialized with it, and everybody waits for the big fight to come on, to have friends over the house, go to the local bar, tavern, restaurant, nightclub or something, we're planning on watching. And that's a great feeling, you know, when you get up there, you're rooting hope for a man, and they come through, and it's good.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely good. All right.
Yeah, well, Bob, you know, last week, the rehash, you know, we had some great matchups, you know, come through. And it looked like Gervonta Davis with Pitbull Diaz. With Pitbull, it turned out to be the fight that we thought it was going to be, Bob.
Yes, it was, right. And, you know, he did a good thing. And also, Tank Davis, he survived. He went the distance, but you know, there's some questions now. You know, we'll get into that a little bit because we have Lomachenko fighting tonight, which is our big story. And, you know, the whole lightweight thing is up for grabs with the with that big upset, Kambosos over Lopez, a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, you had Haney fighting last week, too. And that was another close call against Diaz. And that was another great fight.
Yes, it was. It was a great, great fight. But, Bob, since, you know, we're going to get into all of that. We got some guests coming on today. But, hey, look, man, take us around the world and let us know what's happening.
Okay. You know, we're going to start, as we mentioned, up in Madison Square Garden in New York City, USA, for the ESPN and ESPN Plus broadcast of the lightweight duel between two former world champions, Vasyl Lobachenko, 15-2, 11 KOs, and Richard Comey, 30-3, 27 knockouts. And also we have the heavyweight bout pitting 10-0, all 10 wins by knockout, Jared Anderson going against Alexander Teslenko, 17-1, 13 of those wins by KO. At the top of the undercard, which also features undefeated super lightweight John Bowser, 15-0, and the 19-0 Michael Williams Jr. doing battle. And the clash for the WBC Continental America super middleweight belt between Christian and Billy, 19-0, 18 knockouts, and Ronald Ellis, 18-2-2, 12 KOs, will be the headliner at the Zembo Shrine right down the road here in Harrisburg, PA. And Philadelphia hosts the Jesse Hart 27-3 versus David Murray 10-2-1 confrontation. Springfield, Virginia will feature the Seth Billups versus Dante Cox lightweight contest, and Parkersburg, West Virginia will spotlight 3-0 lightweight Jalen Hill. Antonio Todd steps in versus Delvecchio Savage in the topper from Atlanta, Georgia. And also Florida will see the Irvin Gonzalez versus Jason Vargas super bantamweight attraction. Unbeaten Richard Medina, he's 11-0, takes on the 12-5-1 Oscar Mojica in the finale in San Antonio, Texas. And in Carson, California, Showtime will broadcast Nonito Donaire, 41-6, 27 KOs, defending his WBC World Bantamweight title against the undefeated challenger and fellow Filipino, Raymar Caballo, 24-0, 20 of those wins by knockout. The co-main event is DeMarlon Topali, 34-3, versus Hiroaki Toshigawa, 22-2-2, super bantamweight fight. Latin America Canal Space TV will be in Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico, topping their card with the Tomoko Kameda, 37-3, versus Gianfres Parejo. He's 24-4-1, super bantamweight battle. And in addition, the WBA Fedicentro flyweight title fight between champion Aniel Navagranillo, 11-0, 9 KOs, and the hometown favorite Sergio Mendoza Cordova. He's 14-0, 10 of those by KO. Super bantamweights Anthony Garnica and Jose Ivan Lopez Sotelo meet up in Nuevo Verlata. And then Irapuato, Guanajuato, it's super featherweight Aaron Garibay Marquez meeting up with Jose Guevara Palos. Super lightweights Brian Gorm and Enrique Lopez face off in Ciudad Aruna and Zaragoza. And Tonala Chiapas highlights the Maximino Toala versus Fabian Fuentes super featherweight contest. An unbeaten super bantam, Nestor Lopez, 11-0, squares off against Jesus Zunian Ramirez in the closer in Campeche. And the Big Punch Arena in Tijuana finishes the night with the Benjamin Dacuna versus Azueta Valdez bantamweight battle. Action in Rio Negro, Colombia tonight features Arios, 7-0, crossing the ropes with Ronald Ramos, fighting for the country's super bantamweight title, along with the bout for the country's super flyweight title between Isaac Arias, 7-0, and the 2-0 Bieni Ortega. Montevideo, Uruguay hosts the featherweight clash of Ruben Dario Casero versus Diego Pedrera. Tai C Sports TV will broadcast from Catamarca, Argentina, where Pablo Ezequiel Corzo and Carlos Galvan both seek the vacant WBA Federlatin super middleweight strap. And also witness the Gabriel Alberto Corzo versus Martin Ariel Ruiz battle for the WBA Federbowl World Cup. And the fight for the open WBC Latino super lightweight title between the undefeated 10-0 Jose Angel Gabriel Rosa and the 12-0 Walter Jesus Roca Rivera. Argentine DirecTV will be in Cordoba for the lightweight matchup of Matias Carlos Adrian Rueda. He's 36-1, and Miguel Herman Acosta, 13-8-2. Tandil in Buenos Aires features the welterweight contest of Jeronimo Manuel Vasquez versus Ramon de la Cruz Sosa, while Quilmes closes the curtain after the Julio Gabriela Celes versus Maria Nieves Marcon female lightweight attraction. Mar del Plata hosts the Facundo Alberto Rojas versus Luis Javier Arumada welterweight matchup. Isidro Casanova highlights the Sierra versus Walter Dowdell Diaz welterweight contest. Over now to Liverpool, United Kingdom, where DAZN has a big show with the 19-0, 12 knockouts, Conor Benn and Chris Algieri, 25-3, 9 knockouts, battling for the WBA Continental welterweight belt. And it's 19-0, Katie Taylor and her four belts, WBC, WBA, IBF, and WBA, WBO World Female Lightweight Straps, going against the WBA mandatory challenger, 14-1, Firuza Sharapova. Robbie Davies Jr., 21-3, and Henry Lundy, 31-9-1, vie for the open WBA Continental Super Lightweight crown. Joe Cordina, 13-0, defends his WBA Continental Super Featherweight title versus Mike Kachkatrian, who's also 13-0. And two unbeatens fight for the vacant WBA International Middleweight strap as Chalmin Agarko, 9-0, steps in with Noel Larios Jr., 14-0. Essex will see middleweights Gideon Onihani and Jordan Grunham duke it out. And in Manchester, welterweights Conor Ward and Steve Floyd trade punches. Chef Style Wales tops their night with the middleweight meeting of Aaron Sutton and Gabor Gobles. Herstal Liege Belgium tops the bill with Farouk Khovridov, 18-3 versus Nikola Henchiri, 10-5-2. And that's for the open EBU European Super Featherweight crown. And Omari Massano, 9-0-1, opposes the 6-1 Lakhdar Uzar for the open Benelux Super Welterweight strap. And Stéphane Voda, 8-0, and Jerome Eloyan, 7-1, vie for the vacant Belgium Featherweight Championship. Tours France hosts the clash for the country's middleweight title between Monhit El Metriakigi, he's 15-2-1, and Idas Rezal, 10-2-2. Villeneuve-Les-Béziers, Harrow, ends their show with the Diego Nachu versus Artem Lim middleweight feature. Super middle Zaire Fataki and Mohamed Cherif Banchadi meet up in Fourmier's Nord. The Open France female super bantamweight title fight between Jesse Marcel and Sandra Morset is the topper in Perfit Saint-Denis. Victor Ionescu steps in with Oscar Fico for the WBF into the Continental Super Welterweight strap in the finale in Eggenstein-Leopoldshafen in Baden-Württemberg, Germany. Griesum in Hessen cast tonight with the Super Featherweight matchup of Amar Cicek versus Attila Kayabaski. Wiesbaden hosts the heavyweight showdown between Marcel Lazar, Jericho Andushevili. And welterweights, Sharif Marina, 11-0-1, is showcased in Wuppertal in Nordrhein-Westfalen. Flensburg Schleswig-Holstein closes the curtain after the John Comp versus Jawar Amir super middleweight contest. Baden in Switzerland, they're in action tonight, highlighting the Adranik Hakobian, 15-1-2 versus Alessandro Forsula, 6-0 bout for the vacant WBF Intercontinental Welterweight crown. Navarez in Valenciana, Spain. They feature the Johan Orozco versus Pedro Manuel Gomez super lightweight tilt. And in Milan, Italy, the cruiserweight confrontation between Fabio Turchi and Vukasin Obradovic tops the card. Super Bantams, Martina Ocenero and Alessandro Lozzi square off in Coronaldo. And in Florence, heavyweight Eduardo Giustini and Michael Bassett duke it out. The Republic of Poland International Super Featherweight crown will go to the winner of the Radomir Obrosniak and Karol Herrera bout for the main event from Sevilla, Poland. That's on Polsat Sport TV. Ekaterinburg, Russia, will see 22-0 with 13 knockouts. Magomed Kubanov take on Patrick Teixeira, 31-2, 22 KOs for the WBO International Super Welterweight belt. Co-headliner will have undefeated Dmitry Bivol. He's 18-0, 11 KOs crossing the ropes with Umar Salamov, who's 26-1, 19 of those wins by the KO. He'll be defending his WBA Super World Light Heavyweight title fight. That'll be Bivol doing that defending. Also on the bill is the bout for the Intercontinental Super Featherweight strap between Ruslan Kamalov, 11-0-1, and Dmitry Kasiev, 12-2-2. And Artish Lopsar faces off against Ramil Gaziev for the WBO Oriental Super Middleweight belt. Tashkent in Uzbekistan highlights the 20-0 super lightweight Sojahan Ergashev, stepping in with Akikawi Kaliwamani, who's 23-13. ESPN Plus will also be in Almaty, Kazakhstan, where Stephen Ward, 13-1, and Kamshabek Kunkabayev both seek the open WBA Gold World Cruiserweight Championship. Also on the bill is the fight for the vacant WBC Youth World Welterweight crown between Vladimir Podohanko and Talcott Saikhan. And Ryan Wheeler, 16-1-1, fights Sultan Zauerbek, 11-0, for the WBO European Super Featherweight. In addition, Hamza Gunas and Yedo Kazmaberdiev battle for the open WBO Intercontinental Cruiserweight strap. Heavyweights Dijon Bubik and Mark Ellens meet up in Tallinn, Estonia. Sonny Edwards, 16-0, defends his IBF World Flyweight crown when he takes on Jason Mama, 16-0, in what is now the co-main event in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Also on the zone, they'll have the co-main event. This time will be Donny Mietes versus his WBO International Superfly title against Norberto Jimenez. He comes in with a record of 30 wins, 9 losses, 5 draws, 16 KOs. And there was going to be the fight between bantamweights Paul Butler and Joseph Agbeko. This has had some problems all week. John Riel Casimiro was supposed to be fighting that fight and just came out earlier today. That was going to be for WBO interim title. But that fight is out. Something happened here at the last moment. We're checking that out earlier today. But that fight is off. But they still have a good crowd going and a good card at the Dubai, because we'll see John O'Carroll, the lightweight, 20 wins, 2 losses, and a draw, fighting old Mesquita, who's 25-1. Also, 2 unbeatens battle for the WBC Asian Boxing Council featherweight belt when Hasanbollah Ahmad Nadir, they face off against each other. And Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo, tops their show with the middleweight meeting of Demercy Mbidi and Kabongo Zola. Middleweights are headlined in Windhoek, Namibia, where the 20-3 Lucas Natofokuma steps in against Nukokulikyo Mahawango, 22-9-1. And super middles Bernard S. Makinga and Rajabi meet up in Arusha, Tanzania. And now in the Pacific, in Nagoya, Japan, bantamweight Kosei Tanaka, 15-1, and Sho Ishida, 29-2. Slug it out over there. Taipei, Taiwan, they host a card that's topped with the Yvonne Shengli versus Zhang Yu Zhao super lightweight bout. And both fighters are making their pro debuts in that one. Down under in Condo Park, New South Wales, Australia, Michael Penge dukes it out with Jorge Capion in the welterweight finale, which also has the Taiwana Campbell versus Jessica Adams bout with a vacant Australia female super featherweight crown. And Townsville in Queensland hosts the Lewis Chadwick versus Chris Hunt welterweight confrontation. And Flemington, Victoria, will see cruiserweight Vita Palmeo and Didi's Makwaka square off. And in Auckland, New Zealand, light heavyweight Jerome Papalone, 8-0, is spotlighted going against Richie Fuilafai. There we go, 25 countries, back up to a nice little round number there. T5 fights across the world, a couple big championship fights all throughout the world, from Dubai to England to Madison Square Garden.
Well, we're back at where we started from, Madison Square Garden.
And down the road in Harrisburg, we have a big fight, too, yeah.
Yeah, hey, look, take a little deep breath.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I was wondering when you were going to run out of steam, but the carpet ride kept on going, baby.
Traffic's pretty busy out there in the skies like these days, but you know, I didn't see any reindeer or anything, so I'm good.
Yeah, but boxing's live, baby, and that's what we're here for, the World Boxing Review, bringing you what the action that's happening around the world, Bob, and man, what a carpet ride. But to come back to Madison Square Garden tonight with Lomachenko and Kami, this is a great fight. You know, the enthusiasm that you know, former undisputed champion like Lomachenko, to get back on track after getting beat by Televito's Lopez. And, you know, once fighters of that type of greatness, they see a little edge where they can ease back in the door, you know. And I think this is something that has sparked Lomachenko. We know that Comey's a good puncher, right? But, you know, in a big fight, he knows that at some point in some time, you're gonna get hit, but you don't want to get hit with a big bomb that really mess you up and you can't recuperate and you get hit again. I think if Lomachenko used that offensive machine that he has with punching pressure and those different angles that he takes and keeps Comey, you know, a lot off balance and keep him on a defensive mode, and he watch out for the counter punches, that he don't, Lomachenko don't get hit with no counter on the button or nothing. He should go on and win the fight, and we'll see what happens after he wins. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of big fights down in that division now, a lot of big names. You know, will he go down to Australia? You know, everybody wants to Australia now.
Cambosis, yeah.
Yeah, everybody wants him. You know, when he won, he says, come on down under, baby. And let me tell you, the World Boxing Review will be there, because we were talking about Cambosis when he was rising, when he was fighting around, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talked about him. He's been on our radar, our friends and stuff down there, down under. They have been calling, telling us about him and the different fighters that are down there. So we keep a track of those guys even when they're around the world, Bob. You know, if you look at Katie Taylor, you know, she's in a big fight tonight. We talked about her, you know, a long time ago before she got undisputed, you know. And
yeah, speaking of lightweights,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. That lightweight division is becoming very, very popular, and hats off to them. They need it. It reminds, when you go back in history, some of the great ones, man, that's been down in there, and to see that division get sparked back alive, it's something.
Yeah, Sarah Prova is a good matchup for Katie Taylor tonight, too. That's the WBA mandatory, as you mentioned. But, you know, she's an impressive fighter, too, a little taller. And you know, we'll see what happens. Katie Taylor, of course, prohibitive favorite. But, you know, this lady can punch, so we'll see what happens as well.
Well.
But I think
like
Taylor
said,
will come out okay.
Around these holidays, man, when things for granted, you know, you can't take nothing for granted when you're champion.
Right.
You know,
she said that earlier,
one
actually.
One day
exactly.
out in the ballpark.
Yeah.
It ain't like you can say, all right, time out or anything like that. Let's see if we can regroup. And this is what we're seeing in these fights, man. You know, what right. seems an easy day walkout for these guys. The contenders are hungry. And see that they probably missed out on turkey dinner and looking for the opportunity, you know, to rise to these occasion against these big name champions, and some of them have rose to the occasion, baby. And
yeah.
Talking about Gervonta Davis with Pitbull, I like Pitbull.
Yeah.
You know, I like his spirit, man. He was focused. He gave Gervonta Davis a challenge, and that's what he needs, man, at this point in time to keep him going. And it just renews that you can't take nothing for granted, you know. You know, even though he won the fight like 115, 113, which is still a close fight, but it opens the champion's eyes and say, hey, look, I can't go take these guys for granted that I come up against, Bob. And it's a good thing. And, Bob, we have one of our guests holding in the queue, and we'll be getting to him. To Julian Jackson and his fighter in a minute. But, Bob, yeah, fighting Katie Taylor, I just hope that it lives up to the bill, Bob.
Right, and if she wins, which we're hoping she wins, we see that she probably could win. But, again, you know, we don't know until it happens. But that would set up that big fight for next year sometime against Amanda Serrano, a female fight we all want to see.
Yeah, we want to definitely see that fight, Bob. We definitely want to see that fight. But, Bob, you know, talking about fighting and you talking about great punchers, when you look in the history of boxing, Bob, there's no other great puncher that you can think of in that junior middleweight division but our next guest. We'd like to welcome Julian the Hawk Jackson into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. How you doing, champ?
I'm doing fine, man. Aaron, God bless you, bro.
God bless
you. We are here in. Yeah, I'm calling from all the way from the Virgin Islands, man.
St. Thomas, hey, you know it's cold up in these neck of the woods. It's rainy and it's cold, and you know we don't know if it's going to snow. But what's the weather like down there in St. Thomas, Julia?
Well, right now it's sunny. It's about what? 85 degrees. I mean, it's just awesome, man. It's beautiful. And God, you know, God bless you. God has blessed me to be living in the Virgin Islands. And, you know, along with my boxer here, you know, it's just amazing, especially, you know, if you want to get in shape, what a place to be, man, the Virgin Islands.
That's right, that crystal clear blue water, the mountains, the beach. Oh, man, you got it all in St. Thomas, and great people in that. What is it, pinch that makes you strong?
You know, you got the food, the cuisine, turtle soup. You got all kind of stuff in St. Thomas School. You and look, champ, give us, you know, you're grooming this. You got a young man who's coming along very well, Damon.
Yes, yes.
You know, he's 4-0, four knockouts. Talk a little about him. Tell him his name. Tell a little bit about him before we bring him on the show.
Well, Deion Pewitt, man, you know what? He started as a young kid. You know, he was about maybe 11, 12 years old. You know, and he started in a boxing program. And, you know, time went by, and then all of a sudden he went away as he got older. And he finished high school, I think, in Florida. And he came back home, and he came straight to the gym. You know, it's amazing. He came straight to the gym. You know, and when I saw him, I said, "What? My goodness, where you been, champ?" And, you know, he said, "Man, I went away to school. You know, things happen, and but I am back." And I tell you what, it's amazing. You know, your destiny sometimes keeps calling on you. And I think that's what's happening with him. And he knew his destiny was in boxing, and now he's living a dream, man. You know, had the opportunity to go to Olympics, but that was canceled because of the, you know, the COVID, you know, 19. And but now we decided that, you know what, we're going to turn pro. And now he's doing something that he always dreamed of doing. And, you know, he's making his dream, you know, come true. And it's just amazing, you know, to see what, you know, boxing can do in somebody's life and how it could turn your life around, man. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it did that to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Damon, bring your future champ in to the show. Damon, how are you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, champ. Look, man,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, and your dreams are working. You're 4-0, four knockouts, man. You got it going on, man. So, you know, what really got you into boxing? What made you come back to St. Thomas to get with the champ?
Well, originally I was only coming down for like a vacation, and then the gym was right down the hill from my grandmother's house. I was in that part, that stage of my life where I was deciding on what I wanted to do, and I was just the gym was right down the hill, so I just started to going down. Coach talked to me. He said there's a competition coming up, an amateur competition. So I got excited, and we went with that. I won that first fight as an amateur, and then we started getting it on. We went from most of the Caribbean islands, South America, all types of tournaments, and I had an opportunity to compete in the Pan American Games qualifiers, the Pan American Games, and the time came for the Olympic qualifiers, but COVID-19 stopped that, so we decided to go pro.
Yeah. Well, what weight class are you fighting at, and what weight class do you plan to stay in after, you know, tell us about the weight class you're fighting at now.
So I feel pretty comfortable fighting that 175 light heavy. I feel pretty comfortable making that weight. Definitely want to go as far as I can with that. The dream is to get a major title in 175 light heavyweight, and then move on from there. Just go as far as possible. You know, I'm not putting any limitations on it. I just go in the gym and I give it my all every single day.
Sky's the limit.
What comes from it, you know, is going to come from it. But I believe I'm working hard. There's good competition out there. I want to be up there with the best. So just every day I go and train harder than every other day. You know?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, you got a great team in Julian Jackson. One thing that we know that you're going to be in dynamite shape and with four knockouts. He's teaching that technique that he had, bro. And let me tell you something about your trainer. Yeah, anywhere like him, what he's teaching you, man, you make one mistake, and it was Good Night Irene. And you could, some of them woke up in the hospital, and somebody, some of them woke up in the on the stretcher in the dressing room. But mm-hmm. when Julian Jackson hit you, you know you've been hit.
And you know what? That's because
you're on that kick.
You taught me. You trained me as well. You was a part of the my success, and I appreciate that, man. And I just want to let the radio listeners understand that Aaron Snowell is a tremendous coach. He's a tremendous person, and it was a privilege for
Thank
me to
you,
work
Sam.
With him. And he have done a lot as well in my improvement. You know, in boxing. So, Aaron, you deserve, you know, a clap, man. And I just want to let you know, I tip my hat to you because, you know, you did a lot in my career as well.
Well, thank you, Julian. But you work hard. You never once said, I'm not doing this or I'm not trying that.
Right.
You would try it. If it didn't work, you would talk about it. Why am I doing
right.
this? Ain't working. If it was working, you would say, "Oh man, this feels good." And let me tell you, when this young man, if he listens to you, and he starts putting them punches together, and utilizing that jab and setting them punches up off the off that power that he got, he's
right.
going to be something to reckon with, and it's showing, you know. It's just confidence, and you well know punches. You can't get too overconfident just waiting on one punch to
That's
whack
right.
a guy. But you keep him in dynamite shape like you got him, and he keep combinations. You keep whacking guys out. And the better condition he is, the better and harder that he's going to punch. And one thing about Julian Jackson, he was always in tip-top condition. Always.
Right, that's what it takes.
And that's the mark. Yeah, and this young man, we heard people, you know, down in Atlanta, all over, even in the United States, talking about him. And they're talking about, hey, he's something to look at. He's something of the future to look at. And, you know,
that's right.
that he's going to be the spark that light heavyweight division needs. And who knows, as he moves up, Canelo Alvarez, he's moving up, the one to fight cruiserweights, light heavyweights.
Yeah.
He might be at the right time in the right to fight one of the pound-for-pound guys and rise to the occasion like everybody else is doing, you know?
Yes, man.
So,
and you know what?
Yeah.
He's a trainer's dream, man. He's a trainer's dream. You don't have to ask him if he ran. You knew he ran. You just got to ask him how much.
Well, that's a plus. Yeah, that cardiovascular work that gets that heart where he can supply the muscles, to the brain. The brain tells the body how fast or how slow to react that or to contract that muscle, and that happens simultaneously. So a good, healthy heart, that road work gives you that proper conditioning that you need, and it sounds like the – Julian, he's well on his way. You know how hard it is for guys to get them to do road work. You know, you've been to camp when you're out there running. You say, "Hey, man, what are you doing sleeping in that bed, dude? You got to get up." you done been there, seen champions, pretenders in the contenders.
Right.
You see guys that they want. But they don't want to get up there and pound that pavement, you know.
Serious, man. How do you expect to get that championship belt, you know what I'm saying, if you don't get off of your own seat, you know what I'm saying? You got to get up and you got to go out there and you got to work, man. And that's the kind of mentality that this kid has, Deion Hewitt. And it's a dream. And you know what? I've had a lot of other talented young men, but they just did not have, I think, the desire to want it. And this kid has the desire to want it, and that's why we are giving him our best. We are trying to get things in order, things in line. And you know what? I really believe with all my heart, you know, the Virgin Islands. Okay, we had Emil Griffith. You have me, Julian Jackson. And you had, what's his name, Livingstone Bramble. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the next man to come, okay? The next man to come. Remember, I said it. The next man to come, okay, that will be world champion from the Virgin Islands or representing the Virgin Islands, okay, is Dion Hewitt.
Hewitt. Wow, bro. Hey, Bob, any questions for Julian and Dion Pruitt?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dion, what are your plans for the next year, 2022? Do you plan? Do you have a certain number of fights that you want to plan, or anybody in mind, or traveling? How do you look for 2022 to shape up?
Definitely want to continue to keep building the record. Definitely want to get a lot of fights in, as many fights as possible. But I mean, like I said, I have a great coach. I have great people behind me, and they know what's best when it comes to that. They got the experience. So my thing is just stay in shape, stay ready, continue to be humble and in and outside the gym, and just continue to progress and sharpen my sword.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Because, yeah. You know, fights and subtitle fights, you had guys down there that have won the subtitle fights and going up to the next level. Is that that's where they lost a few things, you know, of discipline and things like that you need on that next level of
yeah.
boxing,
yeah.
you know. And talking about that, you know, tonight on the undercard, Muhammad Ali's son, Nico, will be fighting at Madison Square Garden. I think it's his third fight, you know, and we're going to watch
the
IP does. Yeah, that's on the Vermin Chico up in Madison Square Garden.
Okay,
I believe.
Yeah,
is that right,
yeah.
Bob?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the Madison Square Garden one. Yeah,
well,
yeah, look
we,
it up
we
now. We'll see what, yeah.
Yeah, and we want
to
thank, Champ, we want to thank you. But we got a friend of yours, Julian, who's coming in to talk about the International Boxing Hall of Fame, Champ, who your International Boxing Hall of Fame, your inductee. We want to welcome into
right.
the World Boxing Review our boxing historian, Henry Hathcock. Welcome into the show, Henry.
Thank you. I was just listening
wow.
to Julian. Boy, he sounds great. I mean, I love when he gets very excited over a young fighter. You know, I think it means a lot, not only to the listening audience, but to that young fighter, because, you know, Julian's an International Boxing Hall of Famer. There's not too many that could say that. And to get excited, you know, if I was, let's say, Dion, you know, and somebody like Julian Jackson got excited over me, I'd be like, it's Christmas time. How great is that? the only thing is that Julian Jackson had something that God gave him, and that was a punch like nobody else had. I mean, pound for pound, he has to be rated either the best or near the top of all times as far as, you know, pound for pound punching power. I mean, the guy was awesome. And, you know, it's a real pleasure to even be on
wow.
the radio with him. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, not a Hall of Famer, but great, great puncher. I mean, and just listening to him, you know, he's giving back, you know, for what he has learned through the years to this young man who
sure.
who without Julian, you know, where would he be guided? Julian's guiding him the right way, not even inside the ring, outside the ring, teaching him the right
that's
things.
Right.
And that's fantastic. It really is. I commend you. I commend you.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Awesome, yeah,
man.
And Julian,
you know,
I want to
go ahead,
take the time to take the senators and people who work very hard, you know, to get that boxing program going for you over there, you know, in the recreation
right.
department and stuff like that. They
yeah.
they worked hard and said that Julian Jackson has to be and have these things on the island, and I thank them. I wish other recreation departments around the United States would do that to get boxers, former champions, into those programs and do that for them. But what they did for you is a blessing. It shows how much the Virgin Islands
looks out for their champions.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little jealous because I'm looking out the window. It's raining. It's windy. I got chills. And he tells me, you know, when he was saying what temperature is it, I'm saying he's probably going to say 85. And he said 85. I said, my God. I said, that's man, I wish I could just fly right down there and, you know, and be part of it.
We got a beautiful tropical breeze, man.
Fire up that magic carpet.
Keep it up. Keep it up. we got a breeze over here, too. It's called a mini hurricane, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's a pleasure. You know, we voted you in a couple of years ago. I think it was 2019 we voted you in. And, you know, well-deserved. And like I said, you know, I guess you went down there for the induction ceremonies, and it's really nice, you know, to be recognized by your peers.
Right. Sometimes we don't know what we are doing, you know, especially when we sacrifice and when we working hard, when we sweating, when we, you know, we bleeding and we giving our all, you know, and it pays off. You know, it pays off in the long run. I didn't know I was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because of the hard work, because of the sacrifice I made. You know what I'm saying? So I can look back and say, wow, you know, it was all worth it, man. And I'm telling all the other youngsters out there, all the other fighters out there, man, it can be worth it, man. You know, you don't have to go out there and, you know, expect yourself to, you know, always please, you know, people. But you go out there and do your best. And I guarantee
you,
are going to work out, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah, and for the listening audience, Julian, you know, the time where you came to Orwell, Ohio, in the wintertime, in the middle of the winter, where snow was hanging off the buildings, the blizzard, and all
beautiful,
that,
man.
And all you had in your bag was shorts.
That's right.
Because of the weather.
Oh,
when
man.
We had to take you and get you combat boots and the sweater and put down the Army and Navy store gloves, Julian said, I'm not used to that, but the dedication you had, you were running in that blizzards and all of that kind of stuff.
Man, it was crazy. I've never experienced something like that. You know, and I think that really made me realize how much I love boxing, how much, you know, boxing meant to me. You know, for me to go through that, for me to be, involved in all that type of, you know, scenarios, man. And I am grateful for the people like Aaron, you know, for being there, you know, to give us, you know, the guidance, man. And right now I'm doing the same thing. I'm trying to guide these young brothers, you know, in making a difference in their lives, you know, sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to take a risk. If you want to get something you never had, you got to do something you never did.
Oh,
there
great.
You go. That's right.
That's great. I'm just
that's
looking
right.
over the ballot. I'm just looking over the ballot that when you got in, I mean, you were against some tough competition, like Nigel Benn.
Man.
Was on the ballot. Donald Curry.
Yeah.
Well, Donald Curry got in, and then you know Ricky Hatton, Chris John, you know Rocky Lockridge. You had the Moon. You had Michael Mora. I mean, all these guys. You know, Melvin Taylor was on the ballot. I'm just looking at it now. You know, and there was only three. You know, that can get in, and you were one of the three. Donald Curry, you, and Buddy McGirt. So, I mean,
that's
it was 32 names I'm looking at right now, and. You know, they're all, you know, either world champions or, I mean, great, great fighters. And, you know, you came out as one of the top three, and that was, you know, that's saying something. That's really saying
that's
something.
That's amazing, man. Wow. It's amazing.
Well, that's amazing. And, look, it's amazing to have a young man like Damian, 4-0-4 knockouts. But we got to move this thing on. And y'all two can stay on the show, Julian, and listen. As Henry Hathcock announces the 22 International Boxing Hall of Fame inductees, and I think it's a trilogy. Am I right, Henry?
Yes. It's going to be three classes going in at the same time. You know, this year you know, we voted again, and you know, we came down with I think 10 new members at the hall, and we'll start off with the observers. You got Bobby Eldon. He was with Ring Magazine and Fight Facts. He won a couple of Emmy awards for TV, and he also won the Sam Taleb Award for the Boxing Writers Association, and is also, you know, associated with a lot of boxers even today, with Josh Taylor and even Tyson Fury. Then you have Ron Borges. He was, you know, he wrote for the Boston Globe and Boston Herald. He was on ESPN. He writes for HBO's boxing website. And then you have the non-participants. You have Bill Kaplan. He worked with Bob Arum and Don King. He was a publicist, a ring announcer, an actor. You know, he's going in. And then Chuck Hull, he was one of the top ring announcers in Las Vegas when it would start getting big. You know, he ring announced over 130 title fights, and just in Las Vegas alone. Then you have the women. You know, we start putting women in, I guess, 3 years ago. It's the third year. And we have Holly Holm going in, and Regia Helmich. I mean, they're both outstanding fighters, multi-time world champions. One of them had a 46 bout winning streak, and Holmes was 33-2-3 with 9 knockouts. And her big thing was in a UFC, when she moved up to the UFC, and she knocked out Rossi, you know, Ronda Rousey. And then Hellman, she defended her title like 30 or 40 times, I mean, between the three titles she held. So she was another just outstanding women fighter. Then you have the old-timers. You have Todd Moran. He was a super featherweight champion of the world who beat Johnny Dundee and also Sammy Mandel. He fought Benny Bass. Mm-hmm. He beat Jimmy Goodrich and, you know, Carl DeWayne and Stephen Kid Sullivan and also Cannonball Martin. I mean, his record was outstanding throughout the thing. He had 218 bouts during his career from 1920 to 1942. So he was another outstanding individual. Then you got the modern class. Of course, everybody knows Miguel Cotto. You know, he won you know, world titles in 4 different weight classes, and one of the most popular fighters around, you know, at that time. I mean, he would go against anybody. Then you have James Toney, who also was multi-time world champion and even went up and beat Evander Holyfield. I mean, he won, you know, several world titles, I think three world titles, middleweight, super middleweight, and cruiserweight. And like I said, he was undefeated in his first 46 fights in a row. And then, of course, we have, to me, the top dog of this year's class. You know, he was voted as the fighter of the decade in the 1990s by the Boxers' Writers Association. He held many world titles from the middleweight all the way up to the heavyweight, and that's Roy Jones Jr. I mean, there's nobody that, you know, when he was in his prime, I mean, he hardly lost a round. And, you know, even against Vinny Pazienza, I mean, he had one round that Pazienza didn't even land a punch on him. I mean, he was that good. I mean, I wish he retired right after the Ruiz fight, because if he did, I believe he would have been recognized as, and he still is recognized as one of the greatest, but he would have been recognized as one of the greatest light heavyweight champions of all time, because there was nobody that was touching him. I mean, he was just outstanding individual. And they're going to go into class, you know, this year with all the other inductees from the past several years, and just the top dogs in the last 2 years that are going in is Klitschko, Mayweather, Ward, Davey Moore, Leyla Ali, Ann Wolfe. And then the year before that, it was Bernard Hopkins, Juan Miguel Marquez, and, you know, Shane Mosley. I mean, Christy Martin. So, I mean, this whole weekend will be just spectacular. You know, all the,
yeah,
the great
all
fighters
great
are going
year.
In. Yeah, I mean, can't, yeah. You know, I mean, as the greatest fighters, you know, we've had in a long time. So.
Yeah, but, you know, the International Boxing Hall of Fame up here in upstate New York is second to none, man. When you go in there to see all the exhibits, the plaques that are on the walls of all of inductees from the past, and to look on there to see a couple fighters that I've trained, like Julian Jackson, Mike Tyson, Hector Camacho, and a couple other people, fame, the Don King, he's up there, man. It just shows you, man, how beautiful and what type of work and things that you've been a part of. And it's just a great event up there all around. But on Sunday, Henry, while we got you here, I want to thank Ring 8, who had gave me an award by surprise when we took the Jack Johnson.
We put that under the hat. Yeah, we put that under the hat, and then I walked back and, God rest his soul, the guy that passed away that was your friend, I took him aside and I said, stay by Aaron's stuff and tell Aaron to walk up in front for a minute. I want to talk to him. You know, so he kind of connived it. He stayed there and I could see your face. Like, what the heck am I walking up here for?
All of a sudden, I didn't know.
Yeah, we presented you the award. It was well deserved.
Wow.
You had that Jack Johnson exhibit there, and people love that. People love that, the history of things, and you do a great job of doing that. And Ring 8 has another affair coming up Sunday. And the big thing is we're having Jerry Cooney and Larry Holmes there. Now, I think it's next June they'll celebrate 40 years since their fight. So we're going to celebrate that, tomorrow at Russo's on the Bay. And Teddy Atlas is going to be there, Jay Russell Peltz, Ronaldo Snipes, guys like that are going to come down. And, when I'm going to induct Steve Bolois into the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, and Tommy Gallagher is going to get a special tribute. So,
look, we want to tell the fans. Let me tell a fan is that Ring 8 in the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, and like the New Jersey, Atlantic City. These guys, the money that they get in, they're not abusing the money, or they're helping fighters. This is what we have to look at. Yeah, there's a lot of fighters that, that are out there that need. These dinners are the fundraisers that help struggling fighters if they fall behind on their bills or, bills, car notes, and housing, if they need food, clothing. These guys are helping them, man. We need people. If you can't make the dinner, don't get online. You go online, look at the website. There's places you can donate. You can send it into the address, man. But please, please. And if you got companies that like to donate to causes like that, have the companies get in contact with them, make the donation. They'll present to them. We need this to help these fighters that are struggling out, man. And they do a great job, from Jerry Cooney, Henry Hathcock. Henry, he does ring announcing all the time in New Jersey. He takes not one dime for ring announcing, and then he goes and helps fighters money. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, we got to help these guys that are helping people in the kindness of the heart. A lot of times you listen to about fighters, just being used and abused. Yeah, it happens, but there's guys that are out there that are helping them, trying to, if their lives have been torn apart, these guys are helping them get their first on solid ground.
I'll tell you a quick story. I'll tell you a quick story. I think Aaron knows this, and also I think Bob. When Rocky Lockridge passed away, they called me up and told me, that he passed away and they need our help. So I said, okay, let me know what you want me to do. And then a week later, I got a call from the funeral home. And they said, I heard you were going to pay for his funeral. And I said, what do you mean I'm going to pay for his funeral? He says, yeah. He says, he's not going to be buried unless you come up with almost like $11,000. And I'm going, holy cow, it's the first time I heard that. I said, I told him I would help out. And he says, well, you know, he's not going to be buried. So I made it like a little joke. I said, well, what are you going to do with him if you don't bury him? You know, you can't leave him there. But I said, he's scheduled to be buried this Saturday. It's only a couple of days away. And he says, well, we need the 11 grand. So I thought a minute, and I says,
yeah.
I said, listen, you know who I am? And he says, yeah, I heard of you. I says, I'll give you my word. I'll come up with the money, and I'll bring it that day. I says, but you have to promise the funeral will be on. I'll give you my bond. I'll send a blank check if you want. You know, just and make a long story short, I reached out to people. I reached out to, you know, WBC, the IBF, you know, Ring 8, New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, myself. I donated over $1,000 myself. And then it was, you know, I try to, you know, the WBC gave quite a bit, and the ABC gave quite a bit. And I told my wife, you know, we're actually $5,000 down yet. I need $5,000. I said, I don't know where the heck I'm going to get it. And I prayed. I prayed at night about, you know, this. And my wife says, Jesus, you still up? And I'm saying, yeah. He says, what's the matter? I says, I got to get that $5,000. I said, Jesus, how the heck am I going to get it? And then all of a sudden in the morning, phone rings. And my wife said, it's Janice on the phone. And I thought it was Janice from the church because I work at the food pantry. And I said, hello, you know, I thought you wanted me down there. She said, oh, this is Janice from the IBF. And I said, oh, how you doing? He says, Darryl Peoples and the board just voted to give you $5,000 for the funeral for Rocky Lockridge.
Wow.
I'm saying, wait.
That's right.
I said, wait, wow. Repeat that. You know, repeat that. And she did. And I says, this is Janice Salazar, right? He says, yeah, you know me, Henry. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I don't want to get into it right now, but, man, you made my day. I went downstairs, and my wife says, what's the matter? You seem like you're going to cry. And I'm saying, I am. I says, remember I told you about $5,000? She says, yeah. I says, that phone call was a donation for $5,000. She says, you're kidding. I said, no. Then I went down there in Camden, which is not around the corner from me, and I went down there, and I gave him the money, and I do a eulogy for all the fallen fighters and everything. I did like 300 of them in my lifetime, and then I do a 9 count instead of an 8, I mean, instead of a 10, because I feel a part of them are still with us, and I did that in Rocky's funeral, and, you know, the place was mobbed with people. His family was there, and you know, a lot of his fans from Camden and around the area in Pennsylvania. So, you know, that's what we do with the money. You know, we try to reach out to people, and the WBC and the IBF have been very, very supportive of just about everything I've done. You know, everything I've done.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
and
awesome.
They're good organizations, and we got not 90 seconds, you know. In the 90 seconds, I want to say, hey, look, there was a big announcement about Don King won the purse bid. We said we're going to talk about that. We'll do it next week. But, you know, through the 70s to the 80s to the 90s, he's promoted heavyweight championship fights, a mark for heavyweight fight, second to none. And we want to say tune in to that, what's going on. And thank you so much, Henry, for coming on the show today. We want to thank Julian Jackson and Damon Pewitt for coming on, man, way down at St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. And our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Baby, you took us all around the world. We landed down in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
And with Julian Jackson, then we went to New Jersey, and Henry Haskopf, our boxing historian, Jewel, he shows up to announce the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and we got Julian Jackson, who's a
International Boxing Hall of Famer on, and so is Henry in Ring 8. I got to work for him. Man, it's a, we've been blessed. So we're just asking people keep
well,
on blessing
in.
Us.
I tuned in for the first time in a long time because, everybody knows I lost my son last year, and I've been a little down. But I tuned in, and I heard Bob pronouncing all them names again, and I started to laugh. And I'm saying, my God, I wish I could do that.
Wow.
Thailand or, you know, oh, my Lord, how in the world can he do that?
Yeah, hey, look, we got to end the show. We're out of time, and we're getting cut off. But thank you, Champ, Julian.
God bless you, man. God bless you guys,
Champ.
Man. Awesome.
Hey, thank you.
Yep. God bless you, too. And thank you so much, Henry, and bless your family for coming on the World Boxing Review every Saturday from 11 to 12. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye.